Turbines for Goalposts, episode 7 already. And it's float like a butterfly, sting like a bee arrow, barrow. Forest Green taking us on a roller coaster. They take the lead. They give it away. They look like they're going to go down to a sickening defeat. But then thankfully, deep into injury time, unlike something you'd find in an ornithologist's backpack, it's top bins from Nicky Cadden. So for that, another metaphor so laboured, they need gas and air. Stick with me. All right. Okay, hello everyone. Okay, so I received a bit of feedback from friends of the pod, Dave and Hugo, this week, as well as sort of slightly desperately wanting to get their names mentioned on here. No, they're loyal supporters of the show, so thank you. They did suggest that perhaps last week's episode was a little bit light. I mean, admittedly, I did do a two-word review of one of the games they played, but it's the Papa John's Trophy. I mean, what do you want? You want blood. It's hard enough. Oh, God, I'm whinging already. Straight into the whinging. Anyway, so you've asked for it. You want football. This is it. We're going to get football. This is content. So I travelled up to Barrow. I'm sort of instinctively now doing the B arrow thing. I'm getting annoyed with it. Okay, just know that. I'll try not to do it again. I promise. I mean, I promise that I'll try. I can't promise that it won't happen. Anyway, moving on. Let's do it. Let's do it professional style. Forest Green starting 11. For the away tie against Barrow. There we go, did it. McGee, Richardson, Godwin Malief, Liam Kitchen, Cadden, Adams, Winchester, Whitehouse, Bailey, Matt,
Jake Young.
And, yeah, off we go. They're a pretty decent team. Barrow, as it turns out, and as Mark Cooper stressed in his after-game interview, and for decent periods of this game, they were doing to Forest Green what Forest Green do to quite a few other teams. A lot of lovely one and two touch moves, keeping it on the ground, pretty neat interplay, trying to play it out from the back. So whilst before the game this might have looked like it should have been an easy win, we might end up saying that this was a good point in the end. Although, of course, with these sorts of things, there's always regrets, aren't there? The first half, Forest Green should have been ahead. Probably. Although there's an early chance for Quigley, for Barrow, that was saved. And then, arguably, from a corner, Liam Kitchen, a little bit lucky not to concede a penalty when he, in trying to clear the ball, sort of whacked a Barrow player in the leg. Forest Green got a penalty for basically the same thing quite recently. Can't remember which game it was, but I know that we did. I suppose the first highlight from Forest Green's point of view is Elliot Whitehouse bringing the ball out very nicely at the Forest Green half. Plays a lovely diagonal ball to Odin Bailey. Looks up, feeds it through to Jake Young, who's on the edge of the area, is taking it in the area, and he's got, I mean, I'm guessing he's going to be pretty gutted that he hit the post, but this should be a striker's bread and vegan alternative to butter here. Opening up your body, the keeper's come out, there's the gap on the far side, the far post, that you just got to bend it in. That's easy. That is easy to do. I guess there's a lot of pressure, isn't there? I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I don't know. Anyway, hit the post. And then a little bit later in the same half, Jake Young beats three men immediately around the halfway line and then beats a fourth. And I did actually get the name of the guy that he beat, the fourth guy that he beat, but he just sort of stood there, stuck a leg out, and then bent over and was like just sort of touching the floor with his head hanging down, looking a bit pathetic as young Jake Young waltzed past him and then hit a shot which dipped and hit the bar. So I guess pretty unlucky, I suppose, to go into halftime at 0-0. A second half. You know, it's a pretty even game. It's a pretty even game. One of my personal highlights is a clearance from the Barrow keeper. I mean, it's not a clearance; it's an attempted clearance, but he's sliced it really high into the air. And Odin Bailey, the absolute baller, brings it down on the edge of the box and beats the man. That was like chef's kiss type sort of skill. That was very much enjoyed that. Okay, Forest Green get a corner, whipped in by the magic wand, Nicky Cadden's left foot, and Elliot Whitehouse with a lovely run in at the near post, totally unmarked. Header, beautiful, and Forest Green have taken the lead. They've taken the lead. And then, of course, they go on and score a second and a third and put the game out. I was like, no, no, come on. This is Forest Green. They're not about to go ahead and do that. Barrow really start turning it on. As I said, with a nice, neat passing into play. And there's an overload on the left. Godwin Malief doesn't know whether to go to the man or track the runner. And in the end, he can do neither because he hasn't got any support. The runner sends in the cross. And former FGR man Luke James with a very nice first time finishing at the near post. 1-1. Some more nice play from Barrow after that, with at least another couple of dangerous balls across the face of goal. And Forest Green living dangerously here. And, less than 10 minutes to go. They live really, really dangerously. The ball sort of bounces around a little bit in midfield. Another couple of nice passes and then a through ball. And Moore Taylor, cliche luck, was looking a little bit like he was running in treacle. Slides. If he gets the ball, he also gets the man, and it pretty much had to be a penalty. Penalty given. Angus scores. And that's it. You're thinking, oosh, this doesn't look good. Twitter starts lighting up with some Cooper out shouts. Quite a lot of those start coming in, and I suppose those would have continued even louder, I suppose. But thankfully, basically the last minute of injury time, Ibu Adams bravely goes up for a header, gets fouled. I mean, it was a foul and it was given, but that didn't stop the bloke who committed the foul. And this is one of the things I like. I suppose the only good thing about games being played without any fans in attendance is that when a player or a manager swears, which is something that happens a lot, it's normally very loud and very clear. And that was the case. Whoever it was who fouled Abu Adams, don't know his name, doesn't really matter. No, absolutely. Again, chef's kiss, sort of level, industrial swearing from him. Very nice. And so, this was it, really, wasn't it? Nicky Cadden steps up. I did notice the Barrow wall. It had a gap in it. And also, they had the shortest person, certainly in the wall, I mean, quite possibly, the shortest person in their team was at the end of the wall. Is that how you normally do it? Because it looked to me like you were basically saying, right, we put a short person there, just put it over his head, which won't be hard to do, even if he jumps. Still needed to be done, though. And Cadden, I mean, this is a belter, wasn't it? a very satisfying sound as it hits the bar, down and in. Wasn't quite the last kick of the game, but virtually. And yeah, they'll take a 2-2 draw back to Nailsworth. And yes, I mean, Mark Cooper after the game, he did say that he thinks Barrow are the best team they've faced this season. I suppose on that basis, you'd have to say that a 2-2 draw is a good result. Certainly could have been worse, couldn't it? Interview with Nicky Cadden afterwards. I will say my suggestion of buying a fuzzy thing for the microphone, they haven't done that. It's still windy. It still goes on the audio. I was interested. Nicky Cadden said that free kicks are something that he practices here and there. I mean, if you're a professional footballer, I mean, I know there's other things that they do. You know, they do fitness. You know, they're doing drills. They're doing this and that. But surely, sort of, you know, an attacking midfielder, someone who's a bit of a dead ball specialist, he's going to be practicing free kicks, you'd hope, a bit more than just here and there. I mean, maybe if he did practice a bit more than here and there, we could look forward to even more of those sorts of screamers. Mark Cooper in his interview also said that that's the sort of thing, and this was, I mean, this is classic, isn't it? He says that Cadden's got that in his locker. I like that. That is a nice cliche look. I wonder what else. I don't think he probably literally has a locker, do you think? Maybe he does. Let's imagine he's got a locker. He opens it up. What's he got in there? I don't know, maybe like a picture of his sweetheart on the inside of the door. Maybe some a tin of Axe body spray. Clean underwear, maybe. Some sort of skin products. Can of Iron Brew? Is that? That's... Come on, Owen. That's stereotyping, isn't it? Maybe, though. Who knows? Anyway, what else happened? Liam Kitching suspended for the next game. Got a yellow card. That's not great. But I suppose, yeah, as I say, they're still in the playoffs position as it stands, so no real damage done here with a 2-2 draw, and I guess they will just move on to the next game. Forest Green. And speaking of the next game,
who's that team? Who's that team?
Okay, next up for Forest Green is a game against Southend United. The Shrimpers, keeping up the league to Fisheries Mini League. We've got Grimsby, the Mariners, Morecambe, the Shrimps, and Southend, the Shrimpers. So you'd have thought Morecambe, whenever they play Southend, that's a real... I mean, that's a grudge match, isn't it? That's like the hunter and the hunted. Anyway, Southend, the Shrimpers, were founded in 1906 in, apparently, the Blue Boar Pub. Extra points for being formed in a pub, I suppose, isn't it? They wear blue. They play at Roots Hall. That's just a good name for a stadium, isn't it? Roots Hall. I like it. They're in Essex. Basically, if you're in central London and you just go directly east until you hit the sea, that's where Southend is. Last season, they were relegated from League One, and things have gone from bad to worse since then. They're managed since August of this year by a chap called Mark Moseley. Recently, I enjoyed reading about some of this. I didn't know this, any of this, and it's good stuff. They were recently locked out of their ground after a 6-1 loss against Colchester. I mean, Colchester are their local rivals, so... Well, try telling the Southend fans that the Papa John's trophy is meaningless, because they locked their team out of the ground.
who's
after
that
getting battered
team?
In it. Last year they nearly went out of business. This season they are plumb bottom. They've scored 6 times this season. 6 times in 12 games. They've conceded 25 times. They've won one. Admittedly, that was their most recent game away at Walsall. But they've won one, they've drawn two, and they've lost 9. This is a bad football team by basically any metric you want to choose, and if Forest Green cannot beat this team, then they're going to need to start having a long, hard look in the mirror, I would say. A new part that I'm adding to Who's That Team, I've decided we're going to add Best Name. And this week it is, well, I suppose it's got to be Brandon Goodship, because if you were a shrimper, you'd certainly need a good ship, wouldn't you? So, yeah. I don't know if that's why he got the gig at Southend. I assume he has some footballing skills as well. Although maybe not. As I said, they've scored 6 times in 12 games. So, yeah, this is not a good football team at this moment in time. Okay, a couple of things to mention. I'm now recording this bit here. Monday, after getting home from work, I recorded the Who's That Team for Southend yesterday, Sunday evening. I regret having missed the opportunity to describe the Southend fans who prevented their team from getting back into the ground as ultras. I want to be the sort of podcast that uses, you know, sort of hipster footballing terminology, and ultras is very much in vogue. So they were ultras who prevented the Southend coach from getting back into the ground. I also, listening back, I can't believe, having done the Mariners, the Shrimps and the Shrimpers, that I did describe the Shrimpers there as having been battered by Colchester, but I did that unwittingly, an unwitting pun. And the sort of level comedy I normally operate at. Comedy there, I was doing air quotes with my fingers. You can't see that. I would hope to have identified battered as a you know, an obvious choice of words for describing one of the games. Just any, I would have just tried to crowbar it anywhere to do with Grimsby, Southend or Morecambe. And I'm sure I will do so when they come back around later in the season. Anyway, also worth mentioning, there was a little bit of doubt as to whether or not the Southend game would be going ahead tomorrow night. It looks like it is, because Southend just tweeted about it. But they didn't play at the weekend. They were due to play Cambridge. They didn't play because they basically cried off with the COVID. They said between COVID and injuries, they didn't have enough people to field a team. And I believe this has been challenged by Cambridge, because obviously they're going to want, if they can get it, a nice little 3-0 bye, I suppose. And Mark Cooper, in his interview when this was mentioned, was not very sympathetic towards Southend. He mentioned, obviously, COVID came to Nailsworth, didn't it? Earlier in the season, before the Stevenage game, and they just had to get on with it. And Mark Cooper, he seems to be, he's being quite Sunday League about this. He's kind of like, if they haven't got enough players, they're just going to have to, you know, call around their mates and just get, oh, you know that bloke you work with. Get him, he's all right. He can play, can't he? We'll get him some boots, get him to turn up. You know, and then you end up with that bloke turning up to play. And during the game, he keeps having to leave the field to be sick, because he had a full English about 40 minutes before running out onto the pitch. That is based on a true story. The player in question was supposed to be playing in midfield. Suffice to say, he wasn't going box to box that day. But yes, so theoretically the game should be going ahead tomorrow. Southend with a depleted side. Now, an already bad team without enough players, this is going to be a very, very embarrassing banana skin if it were to prove to be that one, wouldn't it? Anyway, we'll see how it goes. Okay, another musical interlude. I know how much you love these. This one is about Black Friday sales and how rampant consumerism is basically destroying the planet. I mean, more specifically, it's me reading out Black Friday deals off the Amazon website over some beats. It's about 2 minutes long. It's definitely 30 seconds longer than it should be. Can't edit it now. Haven't got the energy. So if you want to give it a try, why not give it a try? If you don't like it, just hit the old skip forward 30 seconds bit a couple of times. All right, nice one. Thank you to those of you who listened all the way through. And to those who didn't, no hard feelings. It's all good. So, just under a week ago, Tuesday, it was the FGR Virtual Fans Forum with Dale Vince and Rich Hughes, the director of football, taking questions via Facebook, that platform of misinformation and propaganda, and Twitter, which is similar but not quite so bad. And okay, so they covered quite a number of issues, so I'm not going to go into too much detail. It's late, time's getting on, so I'll give you the highlights. When's the new stadium going to be ready? Well, they hope to break ground in about 3 years, and therefore we'd be looking at about 5 years before games can be played in it. They're in talks with Birmingham to try and extend Odin Bailey's loan beyond January. The bloke from Massive Attack has apparently, and I guess unsurprisingly, been working on making sure that the sound system, I assume at Eco Park, I can't imagine they're going to waste any money on the sound system at the new lawn, even though goodness knows it's terrible. It just blasts you. If you're anywhere near it, it really blasts you quite. I've got quite sensitive ears, though. So anyway, yeah, so he's going to be, I guess, getting some sort of a super high-tech sound system for Eco Park, which I guess would be cool, wouldn't it? And this, I like this. Rich Hughes, he's putting sort of FGR sort of statistical dominance, but not getting results off the back of that. He said that Forest Green are conceding goals from low quality shots, was what he said, which, I mean, A, sounds like a diss on McGee, and B, I'm not sure, I assume that's just from XG, he's extrapolating that, because I seem to, if I think back on goals that I can remember going in against him, we got free header, 6 yard box, free header, shot from inside the 1-on-1 against Cheltenham from the last ball. I mean, these were not low quality. These were all, I mean, easy chances. So I don't know quite what he's on about there. But I think the point of what he was saying was that statistically, things should start evening out. You know, when you say, Cruciola, it'll all even out over the course of a season. Well, instead of using that cliche to describe bad refereeing decisions, he's using it to describe Forest Green's shots not going in and their opponent's shots going in at ratios that are statistically unlikely. There was a little bit of talk about Project Restart. Dale Vince was basically in favour of it and thinks they should give it another go, but just take out the bit where those six big six teams in the Premier League get to dictate what happens forever. And that was more or less it. A few other bits and bobs, but those were the highlights. So, yeah, you're welcome for me getting through that. So, what's left? I don't think there's much left now. Oh, wait, no, news today. The government's going to allow fans to attend games as of the end of lockdown. I'm not commenting on whether or not I think that's a good idea or not. I mean, I suppose if you're outside, it seems like the virus doesn't travel as well outside. Up to 4,000 fans in low-risk areas, which I think Nailsworth probably falls into the low-risk area, and certainly 4,000 fans would more than cover it at the New Lawn, wouldn't it? There'd be plenty of space there for everyone there. And so looking ahead, it looks like on that basis, Saturday the 12th of December would be the first time we'd be able to go and watch Forest Green. And wouldn't you know it, we'll get to enjoy watching them be humped badly by Cambridge United. High-flying and free-scoring Cambridge United. So we'll get back just in time to watch that. Which should be enjoyable. All right, well, take care of yourselves, guys. And I'll see you next week. Come on, Rovers! Forest Green. Forest Green. Forest Green.
Rovers.
Forest Green.
It's the Rovers.
Forest Green.
Rovers.
Forest Green. Forest Green. Forest Green.